Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Happy Friday to you. And welcome in, if you're listening, as our guest here on 10-3 The Voice on Tipping Point. It is you. And me today. It is you and I today. My Friday grammar skills are a little shaky, but it is me here and it is you there, and we're in studio together. 790-2040. This is a guestless hour, which means you are the guest. Want to talk about a few news items, as we often do on Friday, kind of making sense of the week that was as we head into the weekend. And I got a few things on my mind, and I'd love to chat with you about them. I will start off here in just a moment by telling you how Tom Callahan, who makes the magic here happen, how he changed my life this week. I'll pull Ray in on that too. I want to talk about public safety and also water. We kicked off this week with a conversation with Mayor Tom Murphy. We talked with Vice Mayor Nikki Lee. Yesterday, we had Supervisor Rex Scott and Councilmember Paul Cunningham. A lot of our conversation has revolved around the region, public safety, water. I want to recap some of those things, the ideas that have been marinating in my head as I've processed those conversations. So 790-2040, give me a call. Let's chat. Let's have a conversation. We also, of course, want to acknowledge the big news of the day. Prince Philip has passed at the age of 99. You can love him, you can hate him, but certainly iconic on the world stage. His wife is still the Queen of England, and they both have obviously aged in the seat, in the position. He's 99. He was 99 years old, so we want to acknowledge that. But Ray, here is how Tom Callahan changed my life this week. I can't remember whether it was yesterday or Wednesday. Tom Callahan works the magic here on the other side of the glass. A well-deserving day off this morning. Ray is helping us keep the magic going. But Tom Callahan is the real wizard behind the curtain on a day-to-day basis here on Tipping Point. And there have been some big news stories happening in the world of sports.
Yeah.
And this week I said, you know, Tom, I'm not the sports guy on this station. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. And he goes, Zach, stop right there. He said, you are the sports guy on this station. I don't touch it a lot, but I think I'm the local host on this station right now that is going to go there when we need to go there the most often, right? It's not Buckmaster's wheelhouse. I don't think Wake Up Tucson often goes there. He goes, Zach, you are the sports guy. Even if it's a segment a week, you're the sports guy. And I went, Tom, I love you. there is a desire of mine at some point, it's a bucket list item, to be a sports talk host. It's going to happen at some point. I don't want to go there anytime soon. I love my job. I love what I'm doing here. But I like to do sports talk. It's that inner, never really comes out, but it's in there. I want to be one. So he made my week.
There's something about sports talk that is fun because it's, in a way, inconsequential.
Yes.
But it also is consequential.
Yes.
There's something about being able to argue things from a purely emotional
100%.
And non, ideological basis.
100%. What frustrates me is that news today has become that.
Yes.
And I cannot do flippant shock jock radio about issues that matter to you and me as neighbors.
Yeah.
It's not me. I'm very serious about the issues we talk about. I can't be flippant about it. A lot of people deal with politics and news like sports. And Ray, you nailed it. That's why I love talking about sports, because I can leave some of that other pressure that I wear on my shoulders on this stuff. I can go, hey, don't need to deal with it in the same way.
You can defend your team just like randomly.
Right.
I can just say the Yankees are the best, even though I don't like the Yankees. They're the best arbitrarily. It doesn't matter why I like them.
Right.
You know?
So maybe that's my release a little bit every now and again. But I say all that to say, I think it's more than appropriate to talk about the breaking news that I missed on this show by 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was literally, Ray, 2 minutes. I think you had sent me something and I just hadn't seen it. We were that close to the end. and you know, found out, I don't think it was yesterday or the
day. It was Wednesday.
Sean Miller, the coach of U of A men's basketball, was released after a couple of days of conversation. Breaking news. We couldn't really get to it Wednesday, couldn't really get to it yesterday. We have time to get to it today. And I am going to wear the hat, much like the U of A hat that Ray is wearing this morning, of sports guy on this station for about 6 minutes. But I'd love to get your thoughts. 790-2040. We'll open up the phone lines. We can even go into next segment if we need to. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Who do you think is the front runner for Sean Miller's coaching seat that he just vacated this week? And who do you want it to be? Could be two different questions. Who would you love to see in that seat? Who do you think has a chance? You know, Ray, I think you and I have talked to some folks over the week where we said, wow, 12 years. I think a lot of us didn't realize that Sean Miller's been in that seat for 12 years. To me, it feels a little shorter, which I don't know. It doesn't say anything good or bad. It just, I didn't realize it was 12 years. And certainly, I think to a degree, there's been an underperformance there.
Sure.
There's high expectations for U of A, high expectations for Miller as a coach. And it just didn't meet. And I think Sean Miller recognized that in his written press release. I think it was yesterday, Ray, where he said, I hope this team gets to that Final Four and wins a championship again. He knows that was the brass ring. That was what he was here to do. He called it elusive, I think, in his press release. He knew he had to get there. He knew he didn't. This probably didn't come as a surprise. All the other, you know, kind of shady stuff that's happened the past few years, that's where this program had to go. That's where this program has to go. And it just didn't get there. So I'm not surprised. In fact, I think it could have happened a couple years ago. But
yeah, you know, it's one of those tough subjects when you're talking about this. I'm not surprised it happened. And you know, I think going, when you look back at it, you're going to look back at kind of two versions of the Sean Miller era. The beginning part where there's a lot of hope and desire to win.
And some execution.
And real execution.
Yeah.
You know, three Elite Eights.
That's right.
A lot of time in the tournament, but also three really bad losses in the tournament. First round losses. And, you know, a scandal at the end of his tenure here that really was not good.
Right.
You know, I can remember waking up on the morning of 2017 when that news broke and just hoping that we weren't involved, and it turned out we were, and you're like,
very much so.
Gosh.
Right. Right. You know, there's, I'd love to get our listeners calling in on this, Ray, 790-2040. Who should fill that seat? Who would you like to fill that seat? In some ways, I think it's two very different questions. Damon Stoudemire, who Pacific's coach, has been talked about. Gonzaga assistant coach Tommy Lloyd seems to be a front runner if he'll leave. He's been with Gonzaga for, what, almost two decades, and has been a real part of building that Gonzaga program. He's been pulled away, tried to be pulled away for so often, and it just hasn't happened. Georgia Tech's Josh Pastner, Los Angeles Lakers assistant coach Miles Simon, BYU head coach Mark Pope, Arkansas's Eric Musselman. Another name that has not been mentioned as much, but I've seen it, is Luke Walton, who actually I think is kind of an intriguing idea as a past player and current NBA coach, Arizona ties. I know his dad would be commenting on his games. I get the fun of talking about that, but as a coach, I think that's interesting. To be honest, Ray, I don't know about you or our listeners. There's no one on this list currently that gets me go, ooh, that would be good. I actually put on my social media, Adia Barnes is the only person where I'm like, I want her coaching the men's game. I got some heat for saying that, oddly enough, Ray. I meant it as a compliment. She was asked on, was it John Jay and Rich, do you want to go coach the men? She goes, no, male players are just dumb. I like the women. I'm staying with the women. That's basically what she said. Men don't listen. Women listen and follow the game plan. I like that. So Adia Barnes is not going to be a coach for men's basketball, but I sure would love her to be.
Yeah, and Luke Walton has come out with a statement saying he's not a candidate.
Did he?
He
okay.
likes his job in the NBA, and okay. I can imagine that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, there we go.
So, you know, I understand that. You know, a lot of the problem here is that those available coaches are not available anymore. You know, mm-hmm. the hiring season is over in a way, and so you're kind of a month late.
Right. That's the other thing that I've heard. I don't mind that this change wasn't made 2 weeks ago. I think the women's run through the tournament was really special for this town. And if this announcement had been made a week or two ago, it had gotten in the way of a really good thing. So I'm not opposed to it being post what has been an incredible run and should have been platformed and was platformed as its own very special thing and not overshadowed. But I'm with you, Ray. Like, this is a little bit late, should have been made a little bit earlier in my mind. And you're right. I think there's a lot of coaching talent that's no longer on the table. So we'll see what happens.
But there are people out there, and we will see what happens, and we'll just move on. You know, it's one of those things where for anyone, it's going to be a tough job because there's things that are unknown. Not only unknown about like the normal things that come with college basketball, but like the ramifications of the scandal. What's going to come down from the NCAA if they ever come down with anything? You know. They're so slow. Well, we don't know.
Right.
So.
Tim Steller, an opinion writer for the Daily Star, posted on his personal page yesterday. He said, one thing I would love to see in Arizona's next men's basketball coach is the temperament of Adia Barnes. She doesn't storm around the sidelines, doesn't get mad at every play. She doesn't micromanage every possession. She's cool, focused, yet remains passionate. And some have commented that, you know, in the women's game, there's a little bit less pressure when it comes to the pros, the big money, the one and done, that really these women are here to love this community and to play for this community and to have fun. And I actually agree with that take. I think that if we could find someone the temperament of a Jed Fish, football coach, Adia Barnes, women's coach, someone who loves the game, builds culture, connects it to the community, you got to have that in Tucson. I think we're seeing with Jed Fish and Adia Barnes the right kind of cultures being set. I think we need that in the men's game, and that would be my criteria number one.
I agree with you, but the thing that separates Jed Fish from Adia Barnes right now is winning. We don't have any proof that he's won anything.
True.
So if he doesn't win anything, the community will not be behind him. So I hate to say that, but it's the reality.
It's true.
And it's what's going to happen. If you have a coach that's connected to the community real well, yet they don't win, the fan base will not be there. The reason why Sean Miller was a good coach is because he won. His record is actually really good. And the numbers back that up. The problem is that, you know, you can say all the things that you want to say, but if you don't win, people won't watch and won't show up. And that's the bottom line.
It's the bottom line. Ray and Zach unplugged on sports. Tipping point here, 10:30 The Voice. No doubt sports matters in this community in a big way. So it does relate, and I will wear the mantle of sports guy on this station. Very specific times. I won't do it every day, but on important occasions. When we come back, we want to talk about some public safety stuff, water, where the region is going. I've got some thoughts from our conversations earlier in the week with our guests. I want to get your thoughts, 790-2040. Join us on the live lines. And if you want to call in and talk sports, who should coach U of A men's basketball, we'll keep the phone lines open for that throughout the hour. Let's have some fun. We'll be right back.
The next generation of talk. Tipping Point with Zach Kanzer. 10:30, The Voice.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios, this drive time hour of Tipping Point. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. It's you and I here in studio together. It is a guest-less hour, which means you are the guest. You're always welcome to be the guest, 790-2040. But join us in our conversation. We're going to talk about some news and politics and issues here for the rest of the hour. We did kick off talking about the big news that we missed breaking by literally 2 minutes on this show Wednesday, which was Sean Miller is no longer the coach of men's basketball. So we actually talked some sports. And not just on the reporting side, but also some of the opinion side. So Ray and Zach unplugged this morning on sports. Here's the question. I'm happy to have you call in the entire hour. You can interrupt the other stuff. I want to have fun with this morning. Who do you want to see as the men's basketball coach? There's been a lot of conversation of, is it someone who's been a player? Is it someone outside the program? Happy to get your thoughts. 790-2040 is the call in number. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the big topics that we've been discussing in our community, certainly this week, but for the last number of weeks. And that is some of our challenges around public safety and making sure that we have an adequately staffed police department. And I probably don't have enough time to fully get through what I want to get through in this segment, so we may carry it over. But just a few things that are on my mind is number one, I think that I saw an interesting dynamic at the Tucson City Council meeting this week where there is this mix of a concern when Chief Magnus says we've got 14 individuals in our academy, which is a quarter of what we need to be in the academy. So we are leaking officers that we've had for a while. We can't retain them. We're having difficulty acquiring new officers. If we stay on this path, we could be low 700s by this time next year. Now, that is no doubt the worst case scenario, but we are seeing the comeuppance of a situation that, to be honest, folks have been telling councils for years. Not even just this set. This has been a trend that we have seen coming for a number of years. And so it was interesting to see this dynamic at the city council meeting where there is this, I think, appropriate, wow, this is a problem. We need to solve it. What do we do? Why is this happening? How do we solve it? What does it mean to pay our officers? You're hearing, we support our officers. We want to pay our officers. You're hearing those things. Then there was this moment where it shifted from that piece of the study session to talking about the community safety pilot. And the council began talking about an organization called the Center for Policing Equity, which talks in terms of principles around words related to resistance, dismantling white supremacy, systems that support white supremacy. And it was interesting. And by the way, white supremacy should be dismantled and resisted. I mean, there's no defense of that here on this show. What I'm saying is that in this country, we haven't yet had the right conversation that matches the American people. The data around what the American people want is a three-legged stool around policing. I don't make this stuff up. You don't make this stuff up. This is the American consensus backed up by data. We want a strong and thriving police department. We want a move towards restorative justice. We want accountability in our departments. Those are three things, right? And some of that is going to make the unions upset. Some of that is going to make electeds upset. And some of that's going to make people listening upset. But the American consensus is around those three things. And I think as this community says, why don't we have enough officers to manage the needs that we have? And then we shift automatically from that to saying, that we need to be dismantling and resisting, right? What does it mean to say, look, we support you, but you are rotten and your organization is broken and we need to dismantle a lot of what you do, right? Now, look, I want to double down on this real quick and we'll get to a caller. I want to double down on this. We need accountability in our police departments, right? I think we've got to figure out how we say, look, we support the men and women who are keeping our community safe. We need to get to a point where we are sending our officers to the things that we need to send our officers to. There are some calls coming off TPD's call list that I think are great to come off, right? You know me, I'm not a shock jock. I've looked into the details. When I looked at the list of things that TPD will no longer be responding to come April and June, some of those things make sense. We need our officers responding to things that other agencies could respond to. Other agencies can't respond to the calls that TPD can and should. We need our men and women trained to do what they are trained to do. If we can take things off their plate, that's a good idea. So we need a strong and effective police department. We need one that is accountable. We need a move towards figuring out how do we create a restorative justice system, right? It's not my opinion. That's the American consensus. But the way that we are having that conversation in this community and across, and in communities across the United States, is not creating the sense that we understand that three-legged stool. And it creates this, you say the right words, but we don't feel the right things. And that is a difficulty that I think you saw in really sharp relief today as we wonder, why are we losing officers? But then we don't create the conversations that say, we appreciate you, we need you, the community is behind you, but we also need to make sure that there is reasonable accountability and a restorative justice lens. That's a good conversation to have. I don't think we're having it well and correctly, and I think we're seeing the results. When we talk to officers on the streets, we're hearing, yes, pay is a big deal. We can no longer be 14% below market rate, which we are. Officers here make 14% less than they do in the surrounding area, and the national median average was the research that was done by a group that the city hired. 14% below. That matters. But it's also a morale, and that is the sticky, hard, difficult issue. How do you support, but with accountability? Most communities aren't figuring out how to do it right. I don't think ours is yet, and you see that even in Minneapolis as well. How do we have that right conversation? And I think that there are things that we say, but then there are cues that we give that oppose the things we say. And at the end of the day, when our neighbors need desperately services to keep us safe about things we need to be kept safe from, and we don't have that, the rubber hits the road. The rubber's hitting the road. If you called in, my soapbox went a little bit longer. Stay on the line or give us a call back. If you want to talk sports, we're going to keep that open. We'll talk some water and regional governance when we come back. 10:30 The Voice. See you soon.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. Spring is usually the peak time for putting a home on the market. And it is a seller's market, but demand is so fierce that homeowners are more reluctant to list their homes for fear they won't find something that they can buy. Redfin says almost half the homes they hit the market in March sold within a week. The average sales price last month was 17% higher than a year ago. And in the closely watched showdown in Alabama, Amazon warehouse employees have voted roughly 2-1 against joining a retail workers union. The union vows to appeal the results. The vote officially ended at the end of last month, but ballot counting by the National Labor Relations Board was delayed following allegations of irregularities. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 73 points, NASDAQ up 11, S&P climbing 9. Donna Wilson, Bloomberg Radio.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are back. If you're just joining us here, you're listening to Tipping Point, daily drive time, in-depth news, conversation, and talk about people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're doing a bit of a news roundup hour here. You are our guest. We are guestless on this hour except for you, and we're going to do our best to take your calls, your questions, your thoughts. The one fun thing that we want to talk about today, as I do a bit of a roundup on some of the conversations we've had earlier in the week, is we were 2 minutes short of breaking the news on this show that Sean Miller was removed from his seat as men's basketball coach. So I want to get your thoughts. Who do you want in the seat? Who do you want coaching men's basketball going forward? We're going to talk about a couple of big regional issues and topics, but if you want to call in 790-2040 and give me your thoughts, would love to hear that. So we'll take your calls and questions. If you called a minute ago, hang in there. We'll get to you, or call back when you have a chance. Let's go to Eric on line two before we get going. Eric, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in this morning. How are you?
You're welcome. I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
So I think one of the big mistakes that the city, Tucson city government makes in the last several hires they've had for the chief of police is that they don't hire someone from Tucson. One of the most important things about being the chief of police of a city this size is that you know the city, that you're familiar with the issues and problems, weak points, strong points, that you're from here, that you have a stake in this community. Tucson city government insists on going outside all the time and hiring outside chiefs of police. And, you know, we have a lot of talent within the police department, and it's somewhat, I would think, insulting to the force that the city government doesn't think enough of the existing Tucson police officership to hire from within. And I think, you know, and it's no secret, there is a morale problem. And I believe a lot of that stems from hiring essentially someone from a foreign, and I mean out of city or out of state area to run a city. Why do that? And the morale is low and the pay is low and there are a lot of problems, but I think that leadership right from the top is where you get a better performing department. And I really believe that it's a mistake to do nationwide searches. We don't need to do that. And something needs to change. And, you know, when you have a problem with a program, for instance, the basketball program, you have to start from the top. It's not the players. You don't change the players. You change the head honcho. And I really think that it's time for a change because things aren't going well at the Tucson Police Department, and they haven't been going well. This is not a new phenomenon. How long is it going to take for the city government to realize that it's not working?
Eric, I appreciate your call, and I'm also in favor of I think that our police department is incredibly talented, and I'm always in favor of looking from the inside. I do think that I think companies, cities, organizations we have a tendency to look outside. I feel like I've been, you know, pretty clear on this program, and I've gotten a little bit of heat for it. You know, in my interactions with Chief Magnus, it's always been incredibly positive. You know, I will say my bias is that my neighborhood reached out to him and said, hey, we've got some concerns, we'd love to chat. And he said, sure, I'll come and chat with your neighborhood. And it was, I think, a 6 o'clock meeting, and he spent 2 hours with us, double the time that we asked, and sat down and took just about every question in the book. And so that level of public service to me, I think, is commendable. I've always had good interactions. I've heard, like you, that there is a two-pronged morale challenge. One is, do our elected support us? And I'll just put it out there because that's what I hear. And then there is the morale within the department, with department leadership good? I will say I've heard way more of the political piece of that than I have, you know, officers questioning Chief Magnus. I'm just telling you that that's what I've heard, or I haven't heard. But Eric, you're right. And I think we're at that point where, as collectively as a community, we're saying this is not working, this isn't right. We're at a point where we just can't sustain basic service anymore. You asked, when do we get to that point? I think we're almost there, where we have just seen a consistent decrease in the number of men and women that are there to meet needs. And I was telling somebody yesterday that we can have a philosophical conversation about police and the need and how much and who and how many. But when my neighbors are facing some really difficult issues and there's no one there to help them for hours and days, right, this becomes less of a philosophy and more of a, hey, like, we have needs that aren't being met. How do we get them met? So, Eric, I appreciate your call. Those are some of my thoughts in response. And I agree. I think we're getting to a collective place in the community where we're going to start seeing we just don't have enough folks who are doing what we need them to do. And I just want to say on the air, again, this is not a position statement. This is just my real life. Is I have tremendous respect for the officers that I've been able to work with, who do their best above and beyond even their own bandwidth to serve my community and my local community. There are a lot of folks, majority of folks, who are in this for the right reasons, to do the right things. There are officers who take advantage of things, and they need to be held accountable. And I don't think it's an issue to say both. I don't think it's an issue to say that we've got a lot of great men and women who are in it for the right reasons, who live in our community or should live in our community, who care about our community. And like any organization, there's a few that just don't do the right thing, and they need to be out. And I think you can look the community and you can look our officers in the eye and say, that's the right thing to say. There is nothing wrong with that expectation of support and accountability. We just aren't having that conversation. Eric, I really appreciate your call. 790-2040. Do you want to talk about UA men's basketball? Do you want to talk about that? This hour is yours. We're here to chat with you and kind of debrief the week and talk about the week. 790-2040. Ray, I still want to talk about water. I think the water conversations that we've been having on this show are reflective of not just a small issue, but I think a larger community and regional conversation that is happening. I want to go to our final break of the hour a little bit early so that we can spend a little bit of time on this. My thoughts after what I thought was a really productive conversation with Supervisor Scott, Councilmember Cunningham yesterday on the show. Two men on two very opposite sides of this issue of do we raise water rates now for unincorporated county residents. I know it seems like a very micro policy item. To me, it reflects a bigger trend that we're seeing that's a little bit concerning. I want to talk about that when we return. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Miss a show? Check out the podcast at kvoi.com.
It's a new year, and if you're like me and my family, we're thinking a lot about our financial plan for 2021. Savings, reducing debt, growing wealth, planning for the future. It's a lot, and often really confusing. If that's you too, give Jason Robinson at MassMutual a call to set up a plan for your money that meets your goals. Jason and his team have decided to reduce their fees during this first quarter to make sure that anyone who wants a strategy and accountability can get it. Call 274-3749 to get started and tell them Zach at Tipping Point sent you.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are back. It is an hour with you on the air, 790-2040. We're doing a bit of a news roundup, talking about some of the topics, conversations, guests we spoke to and with. Here in studio, talking some public safety, some water, all important issues here in Southern Arizona. And also, we kicked off by talking U of A men's basketball, where we found that Sean Miller a couple days ago was let go as head coach. We're taking your calls this morning, 790-2040. Kind of a two-pronged question. It's open throughout the hour. We'll try to get to your calls as quickly and as much as we can. Who would you like to see in that seat? Who do you think is going to get the seat? Those can be two different questions. I am starting to get some whispers that Tommy Lloyd is near the front of the line for being the next UA basketball coach, longtime Gonzaga assistant coach. As I've started to dabble in this topic on the air, starting to hear and get some whispers that obviously nothing's confirmed, but that we are seeing Tommy Lloyd move quickly to the front of the line. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a few days we start to hear something serious around that. So tuck that away. We'll save that clip. Maybe play it next week to see if we're right. But Tommy Lloyd, I put that name on a piece of paper, and we'll come back to it next week.
I think it's either him or Stoudemire. I think those are the two front runners.
Got it.
And so we'll just see, you know?
Yeah, got it. You know the fun part of doing a live show is live conversation happening in the background as you're doing the show.
Sure.
And you get to hear and see some things. And so just put on a piece of paper and we'll come back and we'll Ray and Zach unplugged on sports in a few days. We'll see how correct we are. So there we go. 790-2040. Do you agree with that? Do you think we're right on? Do you think some of those preliminary whispers are right, or do you think it's somewhere else? A listener also just mentioned not feeling like Stoudemire has a shot. Do you think Stoudemire has a chance? Ray thinks it's between Tommy and Damon and Stoudemire. What do you think? 790-2040. Give us a call. So the conversation that we had yesterday, we'll jump into this as you're calling in, as we're having a chat on the air. We talked yesterday with Councilmember Cunningham and Supervisor Scott from Pima County Board of Supervisors about the conversation around increasing water rates for those receiving water service from Tucson Water who live in unincorporated Pima County. Now, I had a friend message me yesterday and go, I'm getting water from this XYZ source. Does that mean that my rates are going to go up? My understanding is that this is just if you are receiving water from Tucson Water. And I loved the conversation yesterday, and I'll get into detail about one or two elements that I think make this really important. Whether you live in the city, whether you're in unincorporated county, don't tune out, because I think there's something in the weeds here that I think is important for us as people who, I know if you listen to this show, care about the region. Let's go to Gloria on line two. We will interrupt this with an important call around sports. Gloria, good to see you. Thanks for calling in on sports. How are you?
Yeah, everything you've got on this morning, I would want to talk about. But I originally called about sports first of all, I would want Josh Pastner, because he actually helped me pick out Christmas presents for the grandkids one year at a Toys R Us on Oracle.
Wow.
He, and I think it was his fiance at the time, I don't think they were married, but he would say, no, I don't think that'll work. And he was just the sweetest, kindest, most, you know, and really thoughtful about these gifts, all of which were overpriced, but you know how that goes. But I thought, this is a good person. I didn't know he was going to go on to coaching and such, but of all the names you've mentioned, that's the one I know personally, so I'll go for him. The one thing I wanted to tell you about Coach Miller, if you can give me a minute, is that years ago, our late son, coached his son in basketball. And it was a club, and my son took it very seriously, and they did very, very well. But he's there coaching, you know, paying attention into the thing, and he hears a voice, the game stops, hears a voice behind him say, Chris. And he said, the voice sounded familiar, but he didn't know why. And he turned around and it was Coach Miller, come to watch his kid play. And Chris says, oh my God, there'll be one of those overbearing parents who tells me what to do. And he said, I got away to watch the game. How can I help? Mm. And that's all he said. How can I help? I'm here. And after that, he came to all the games, he and his wife. His wife is a very thrifty person, but she would bring things for the team players and was just beyond kind and caring for the team.
Wow.
And so we may remember wins and losses, but that moment of how he treated my son and thereafter and how his wife treated the team will stay with me for a long, long time.
Gloria, I love that story. I love your personal connections to both Pastner and Sean Miller. And I think we do forget that even if it's behind the scenes, a lot of these folks are doing things behind the scenes in the community, and it's really great to hear those stories. Last question for you, Gloria. You mentioned who you want to see in the seat. Who do you think's the front runner? Is it different? Do you think Josh is up there, or do you agree with Tommy Lloyd being the consensus pick?
I have no clue. But, you know, every time I hear it from people about the new football coach, it's kind of like what you were saying about the police chief. The new football coach is making friends in the community when he got off the plane. You know, he is reaching out. He wants to meet people. He wants to know people. Whomever they choose has want to integrate into this community. And I could help them put together a scenario question that might tell them what these guys think and do. Mm. And, yes, give me an example of when you've had to reach out to a community where you really didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And let's see what they say. But that's going to be for me, because they all technically, you know, they know the good stuff. But how can they integrate into the community of Tucson, which isn't a little town? It's a city.
That's right.
You're doing a great job. You and Tom is just a joy. Both of you. Well, you know, I enjoy your hour. It just goes by too fast.
Gloria, thank you. I really appreciate your encouragement. Right on time on a Friday. I always love when you call in. Please don't stop. I love your stories. And to you, Gloria, thank you so much.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye.
I love hearing those personal stories. And I think it gets back to what you were saying in the beginning, Ray, is that certainly there's been a clouding by this bribery scandal and the way it spun out of control. And there's a lot of folks who will say, well, it was this, you know, Sean Miller directly. And a lot of people will say whether it was him or just the staff got out of control and it was under his watch, it still levels up to the guy at the top, to the woman at the top, to the guy at the top. But at the end of the day, you know, I think Gloria's story really reflects that there was certainly early on, there's so much promise and there was so much potential, and these are people too. You know, we see them in the news, we see them in 2D so often, we forget that they are 3D human beings, and there was just so much promise to this, and I think many are disappointed. I think even Sean Miller, if you asked him, is disappointed that it never got where it needed to go, but I think Gloria nailed it. It's got to be someone connected to the community.
You know, that's true, and one day the book will probably come out, and I'll be reading it. Well, or hopefully it does, you know?
Right. There's always a book.
There's got to be a book.
That will always come out. Yeah. Oh, man. Tia, Gloria, thank you so much for your call. We've got a few more minutes, 790-2040. We can probably fit one or two more calls in if you are lurking out there. And before we go to the weekend, if you want to give us your best guess, I'm just telling you, there's a chance that we'll have an idea of what the answer is by Monday, Tuesday. So if you want to be on record with your idea and you want to be able to play the clip and see, I was right, I would urge you, don't wait. We can fit in one or two more calls as we close out the weekend, because we may get to Monday and you might have lost your shot. 790-2040, no pun intended. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the water conversation. By the way, listen back to that conversation with Rex Scott and Paul Cunningham. You know, I thought, besides the policy, I thought it was fun of two guys coming in, right? It was really interesting to me that Rex Scott, we started with Paul Cunningham with his view. Rex Scott came in and went, it's a really, really bad idea, guys. It's a really, really bad idea. But at the end, they said, look, we care about this community. I appreciate your service. We disagree on this issue, but we're going to figure out, we're going to make it work. And I just thought it was cool. You don't see those moments too many times where we end with mutual respect over an issue where clearly there was tension and disagreement. I thought that was really cool. So check that out. But, you know, this idea of water rates. I may not get to everywhere what I want to get to it, but I think I want to end the week really quick. We'll go to our phone lines here to wrap up. I think that I want to end where we started with our conversation with Mayor Tom Murphy, who in the final segment of our conversation on Tuesday said, I feel like there is a diminishing intentionality behind regional governance, that we are starting to see a slipping in how we think about ourselves as a region and what makes our region succeed. And I think this kind of, some call it a water war that came out of nowhere here between the city and the county, is a very micro approach to a macro question of how do we make our region thrive, right? When unincorporated Pima County residents pay approximately 37% of municipal sales tax working, dining, and shopping in 2017 in Tucson. All right, what does it mean to look at ourselves as a region and go, how do we thrive together rather than, you know, these micro questions that are around each municipality? We're running out of time. I want to go to our phone lines. Roy on line two. We are 2 minutes and ticking, Roy, but I wanted to get to you. Thanks for calling in. You're live.
Okay. Thanks for letting me on. Real quickly, in terms of the water, I think the same thing that happened a few years ago when they were going to try to put a surcharge for water, for water pumping. There was a lot of noise, a lot of talk back and forth, and basically nothing happened, okay? Everything just kind of went away. And I believe the same thing's going to happen again. And in terms of the basketball team, I am personally in favor of getting Lloyd and kind of requiring that Sotomayor be his assistant coach, you know, first coach after him.
I like it. Roy, I think if that were to happen, a lot of people would be happy. Now that you mentioned it, I have seen out there, let's get Damon as an assistant coach. You know, who are some of these former players that we can get to build the program back up again? So Roy is saying Tommy Lloyd, Damon Sotomayor as assistant coach. I like it, Roy. I appreciate your call.
I believe they'll make enough of the fans happy, so they'll trust Lloyd. And at the same time, Lloyd, I believe, deserves a shot.
Yep.
He's been behind a great coach for a decade, and he deserves a shot
at
a quality program. And I believe the U of A is a quality program.
100%. Roy, I love that take. And the last thing on Tommy Lloyd, that it has a relation to Arizona. Lloyd is fantastic at international recruiting. And we know the University of Arizona has had some real strength in that area. We need a guy who can do the international recruiting, a new wrinkle in college basketball. But it's here. We have it. Roy, I think it was a fantastic call on many levels. I want to talk about water next week. We'll cover that again. On Monday, we're going to introduce our new News Hour Monday segment. Louis Christensen, Tucson Tomorrow. What are the news stories he's hearing? We'll talk some Tucson news to kick us off on Monday. Until then, Tucson, stay safe and healthy out there. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. That's it for us here on Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, wishing you a great weekend. See you Monday.